Person praying about love. vote.
Amen.
And I heard it again all throughout this service. So I want to talk to you for just a few minutes from the subject, it's all about love.
Amen.
It's all about love. Is it?
Yes, sir.
The fourth gospel explains the mystery of the person of Jesus. Jesus, the miracle worker. Jesus, the Word made flesh. Jesus, the light that shines in the darkness. Jesus, the Savior. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Jesus, our perfect example. Jesus, the crucified one. And Jesus, our resurrection and our hope. If you want to know about God's love, then look to Jesus.
Amen.
If you want to experience love, look to Jesus. If you want to be loved unconditionally, look to Jesus. If you want to see what real love looks like, you got to look to Jesus. Why should we look to Him? Well, because the scripture says He is the author and finisher of our faith. I'm here to tell you, you will never be disappointed if you do. You'll never be let down if you do. And you'll never be left wanting if you just look to Jesus. Sisters and brothers, when I first came to Christ and joined the church and started out on my Christian journey, I would have accepted without question the proposition that churches operated, functioned, were guided, and moved only by love and the Holy Spirit. But I've been in the church a little while now. And I've seen a few things. I've heard a few things. I've experienced a few things. And the truth is, some of them did not and do not have anything to do with the love of God. That's why people leave churches in droves when they find out sometimes that it's not all about love. But it should be. They experience it's not all about love, but it's supposed to be. They see it's not all about love, but that's what Jesus said it would be. And they leave the church echoing the words of Tina Turner's song, "What's Love Got to Do With It?" Sisters and brothers, if you look at the state of affairs in many churches, in many Christian communities, in this nation, in this state, in this city, you will often be hard-pressed to convince people that what they are doing is all about God's love. I read about it in the Bible. I read about it, and the Bible says that love has a way of covering up stuff. That's why Solomon wrote, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of sins." Sisters and brothers, anything that goes on in the church of God, in the name of God, for the sake of God, and on behalf of God, ought to be motivated by the love of God. The kind of love that Jesus was talking about when He said, "Greater love have no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend." The kind of love that Paul highlights in his first letter to the church at Corinth when he wrote that that kind of love is patient, not envious, boastful, arrogant, or rude. It does not insist on having its way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Sisters and brothers, it's all about love. Isn't it? as you can see, it is not a hit and miss kind of love that we sometimes see on display in those claiming to be God's children. Ain't going to be a lot of amen to that. I love you if I can have my way. I love you if I'm in charge. I love you if you put me first.
Yeah.
Oh no. God's love is different than that. It's sacrificial. God's love is never ending. God's love is giving. God's love is healing our wounded soul. God's love lifts our burdens when we're down. God's love
strengthens us when we're weak. God love comforts us when we are sad. God love encourages us when we are battered. And God love changes, never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sisters and brothers, that's good news. Make no mistake about it. Anyone who reads these passages with an open mind and a receptive heart knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that at its lowest level, each of these passages conveys a message that focuses totally on love. But not just any kind of love. It's the kind of love that knows no boundaries. It's love that goes beyond the limit. It's love that goes the extra mile of the way. It's love that puts others first. It's the kind of love that comes from God. And when the elders talked about it after having experienced, they said it ran from heart to heart.
Come on, preacher.
And from breast to breast. And every now and then, they would pick up the words of that old hymn and sing, "Blessed be the ties that bind our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above." And Jesus said, "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." My sisters and brothers, it was certainly a love that you can feel, but not only that, it was a love you could see. And the truth is, we don't see enough of that today. But every now and then, when we get a glimpse of it in the lives of God's children, every now and then, when we see it in the actions of a sister and brother, every now and then, when we hear it in the words of a friend, we ought to pause and say, "Thank you, Lord, for letting me see and experience your love," because it's all about love. When it comes to God's love in the church, if you can't see it, might not be love. There are a lot of people who are feeling stuff in the church, but when you look at what they do, you may not see much. And with some of them, you don't see anything. You don't see any goodwill. You don't see any kindness. You don't see any joy. You don't see any tenderheartedness. You don't see any long-suffering. You don't see any faith. And you definitely don't see them giving any tithes and offerings. There's a saying that goes, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. God so loved. Am I right about it? Love will make you give. Love will make you support. Love will make you sacrifice. And love will make you serve. But if you ask some people, they will tell you they love the Lord anyway. But Jesus said, "Greater love had no man than this." Turn to your neighbor. Say, you ought to be able to see that kind of love. When it comes to work of the church, the ministry of the faithful, or the mission mandate of the master, it ought always to begin and end with love. Because the truth is, no one can properly carry out the will of God, fulfill God's plan, or accomplish God's purpose in a way that gives God glory without love. You can do a lot of things in the church, but it just won't be done right without love. That's why Paul wrote in that letter to the Corinthians, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I give. I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have faith so I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it ain't profiting me anything. In other words, if we are going to do the work and will of God, we have got to have the love of God in our hearts. Am I right about it? When it comes to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, it's always about love. Is that right? So when it comes to God, there is no question that it's all about love. That's why John wrote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." When it comes to Jesus, there is no question that it's all about love. That's why he said, "I am the good shepherd." The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. When it comes to the Holy Ghost, there's no question that it's all about love. That's why Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." My sisters and brothers, it's all about love. That's why one of the first songs that we teach our children is, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Jesus loves you." I know it's all about love. It might not look like it sometimes. And it might not feel like it sometimes. But it is. And if not, it ought to be. Because this is God's church. And I heard Jesus say, "Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's good news. Am I right about it? Over the years, over the course of history, over the life of the church, many things have been said about our God. But if what was said, is being said, and will be said does not involve love, it misses the mark in defining our God. Because John wrote, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love." He's love eternal. He's love triumphant. He's love redeeming. He's love transforming. And he's love renewing and restoring. Ain't the Lord all right? Amen. This verse highlights the essential nature of God. If God is anything, it's love. If God is to be properly described, he's love. If God is to be identified, it is with and by his love. His nature is love. His character is love. His essence is love. And you can see it because his actions show love. Am I right about it? He woke us up this morning. That's love. He started us on our way. That's love. Clothed in our right mind. That's love. Blood running warm in our veins. That's love. Bread on our tables. That's love. Clothes on our back. That's love. Shoes on our feet. That's love. A roof over our head. That's love. A reasonable portion of help. That's love. But most of all, because of what Jesus did, we all got somewhere to lay our head. That's love. Ain't the Lord all right? Our elders recognize the love of God. And every now and then, you would hear them singing, "I was sinking, deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else would help. God's love lifted me. It's all about love. It ought to be. As simple as this equation ought to be. Church and love. The marriage between these two has often been difficult and estranged when it comes to God's people. Am I right about it? Most of us in this sanctuary, other than maybe some of these children, have been in the church a while. We've grown up in it, or it has grown up in us. And no doubt over those years, you've been many places and seen many things take place, occur, happen, be done, be orchestrated, be put on program, are carried out by those proclaiming to be acting on behalf of God and the church that did not appear to involve one bit of love. Am I right about it? It is my contention, brothers and sisters, that over time, the church has sometimes moved further and further away from what best describes our God, and that is love. And what ought to best describe his children, and that is love. We have moved from being prophetic to being performers. We have moved from ministering to entertaining. We have moved from serving to being served. We have moved from giving to getting all we can. We have moved from denying ourselves to denying others. And we have moved from following Christ to following the latest church fad. Jesus said to his disciples and us, if you keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandment and abide in his love. Am I right about it? This text is all about staying connected to the source, the vine to the branches, the branches to the limbs, the limbs to the tree, the tree to the root, and the root to the ground. But it's also about doing the will of God. When you do his will, you're connected. When you do his work, you're connected. When you do his bidding, you're connected. And when you keep his commandment, you're connected by love, which means you will bear fruit. Am I right about it? But we've got to stay connected. The only one anyone will know that we are connected to Jesus is if we live in love. That's why he said, by this, not by great preaching, not by great singing, not by great performing, but by this will all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another.
That's right.
Yes. Sisters and brothers, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. And God is the vine grower. And we give him glory by bearing fruit. And fruitfulness is a key sign of those who are connected to the vine and connected to the Lord Jesus. Am I right about it? Jesus said a tree will be known by the fruit that it bears. It's all about love. And this love involves sacrifice. This love involves service. This love involves obedience. This love involves giving. This love involves going the extra mile of the way. This love involves a willingness to give of oneself. And this love is only about God, and it can only come about is if we're connected to the vine. If we're going to preach and be effective, we got to stay connected to the vine. If we're going to teach, to transform lives, we got to stay connected to the vine. And if we're going to reach the masses for Christ, we got to stay connected to the vine. Do I have a witness in here? When we're connected to the vine, we learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. When we're connected to the vine, we learn to go when we don't feel like going. When we're connected to the vine, we learn to love the unlovable. When we're connected to the vine, we live in love, we work in love, and we serve in love. When we are connected to the vine, we may be weak, but God is strong. When we are connected to the vine, we may be hurting, but He is our help. When we are connected to the vine, we may feel like giving up or giving in, but something on the inside tells us to fight on. Because He promised never to leave us. Ain't the Lord all right? There is no stronger biblical principle, precept, doctrine, teaching, or theology in the Bible than love. You can't get any higher. You can't raise the bar any further. You can't advance the baton of Christianity to any greater length. Once you reach love, you fulfill all the requirements of the Mosaic law. It covers all the Christian bases. In the gospel tune, packing up, getting ready to go. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you've learned to pack up, if you learn to love other folk, whether you're packed or not, you're ready to go. Do I have a witness in here? I know it's all about love, because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where would I be. I would be dead, sleeping in my grave. But the Lord told death to behave. I know it's all about love, because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. I know it's all about love, because God has been good to me. So I made up in my mind to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Is there anybody here who know that God is good? He's a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of a storm. He's a friend when you're friendless. He's bread when you're hungry. Water when you're thirsty. Y'all know Him, don't you? He's Adam's Redeemer. Anybody in here know Him? He's Abel's Vindicator. He's Abraham's Sacrifice. He's Noah's Ark. He's Moses' Bush on Fire. He's Joshua's Battle Axe. He's Gideon's Fleece. Y'all know Him, don't you? He's Samson's Power. He's David's Music. He's Solomon's Wisdom. He's Jeremiah's Bow. He's Ezekiel's Wheel. Y'all know Him, don't you? He's the root of Jesse, the seed of Abraham, a stone hewed out of a mountain, a meek and humble lamb. Y'all know Him, don't you? He's the God of God, the Prince of Peace, the bright and morning star, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. Y'all know Him, don't you? He's a way out of no way. Is there anybody in here that knows not Jesus? Ain't the Lord all right? Ain't He all right? Ain't He all right? Thank you, Lord. Well, I've held you too long, but I'm reminded of a story about a hardened criminal. serving a life sentence, who felt such despair that life no longer had any hope for him. His behavior got so bad, he was sent to solitary confinement for 3 weeks to a place that was known as the hole. One day while in the hole, a remarkable thing happened. He was laying on the cold cement doing some sit-ups when he noticed something wedged in the back corner of the cell under the sleeping platform. He had no idea how it got there, but he figured a former resident of the hole must have left it. He wiggled it out, and it was a copy of the New Testament. Remarkably, he began to read from it. He had always been a dynamo of power and energy, and suddenly he began to wonder what would have happened to him had he used his power and energy for good rather than for evil. For a long time he lay there thinking, why did God create me? Why did God create someone who would end up behind bars? Why did God create someone who would die to the goodness and love and be buried in a tomb in a prison cell? A surprising thought entered the inmate's mind. He thought the greatest event in history began in a tomb. A tomb just as secure and as guarded as his prison cell. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. A second thought moved deep within him. What happened to Jesus in the tomb could also happen to him too in the hole.
Yes, yes.
Because of Jesus, new life and glory too could rise from the dead. At that moment, something rose from deep within him. He felt a stirring down in his soul. He asked Jesus to come into him and raise him to new life and to recreate a hardened criminal into a new person. And what happened to Jesus in his tomb happened to the prisoner in his tomb called the hole. The resurrection power of God brought him new life. The man's name was Star Daily. And after he was released from prison, he became one of the pioneers of prison reform in the United States. And that's what I want to leave you with. If you find yourself in a tomb, buried someplace in a hole like a criminal, I want you to know God's love can bring you out. It may be a tomb of resentment, but God's love can bring you out. It might be a tomb of fear, but God's love can bring you out. It might be a tomb of despair, but God's love can bring you out. It might be a tomb of sorrow, but God's love can bring you out. It might be a tomb of loneliness, but God's love can bring you out. You know him, don't you? Paul wrote, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God did not wait for us to become holy or pure or righteous or sanctified or honest or decent or moral before he loved us. While we were yet sinners, he revealed his love to us. He extended his mercy to us. He manifested his grace toward us. He gave his son for us. He promised his blessings to us. He unveiled his glory to us. And he established his purpose for us. God did not wait for us to make the first move. He moved on our behalf. God did not wait for us to reach up to him. He reached down to us. God did not wait for us to work it out. He worked it out on our behalf while we were unworthy, undeserving, unholy. I'm thankful, unfaithful, unlovable, and unsaved. While we were sinners, God loved us. And Jesus died. Didn't he die on a hill called Calvary? They stretched him wide and hung him high. And he died for the sins of the world. God's love was on display out on Calvary's hill. God is redemptive love. God is renewing love. God is restoring love. God is replenishing love. God is refreshing love. God's love will draw you, not drive you. It's all about love. That's why Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. And the hymn writer picked up his pen and wrote these words. How to reach the masses, men of every birth, for an answer, Jesus gave the key. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for men to see. Trust him and do not doubt the words he said. I'll draw, I'll draw, I'll draw. Won't he do it? I'll draw all men unto me. Y'all know him, don't you? He's love eternal, love incarnate. He's a way maker. He's the lifter of my head. He's the redeemer. He's my savior. Y'all know him, don't you? He's a friend. Won't he be a friend? Won't he make a way? Won't he bring you over? Won't he bring you out? Won't he bring you through? Has he done anything for you? Has he done anything for you? Then you ought to give him glory. I got joy because of God's love. I got peace because of his love. I got hope because of his love. I got salvation because of his love. I'm going to keep on serving because of his love. Keep on preaching because of his love. Keep on preaching. Keep on singing. Keep on praying because of his love. I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. When I get through working on my building, I'm going up. I'm going up. I'm going up to get my reward. When I get there, love will open the gate. When I get there, love will usher me in. When I get there, I'm going to tell love, thank you for how you brought me. Thank you for how you taught me. Thank you for how you kept me. Thank you. You never left me. I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to give him honor. Because he's been good. Has he been good? Has he been good to you? Has he blessed you? Has he made a way for you? Has he done anything for you? Give him glory. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? He's all right. 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 I know. He's all right. He's been good. He's been good.
I know.
It's all about love. Because I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't have what I have. I wouldn't even be alive today if it were not for God's grace, His love, and His mercy. The doors of the church are open. It's all about love. It's all about love. Everything we do ought to be in love. Every word that comes out of our mouths ought to be in love. Every attitude that enters our heart ought to focus on love. Is there one today? Love carried him to Calvary. Love kept him on the cross. Love rose and raised him up from the grave early Sunday morning. Is there one today?